1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
To God for this first Sunday morning in the month of June. We're halfway through another year, and we can testify that God has done it again.
Amen.
He has made a way. He's taking care of His people. To all of our ministers, to all of our ministry leaders, and to all of you who are assembled here, visitors and friends, to those who are online with us, we thank God for you as well on this blessed Sunday morning. And we're so thankful to God once again for our sister Trelina, who we were able to baptize on this morning. We thank God for her. Amen. Glory to God. We thank God today for our music ministry blessing us. Let's give God praise for them. I mean, done sang the lights out. Wow. That's the type of time y'all on today, huh? Wow. Well, there is an assignment I have, and so I solicit your prayers. I have a very difficult assignment I am to submit to the people of God for your consideration. And do the best I can to do what God has assigned. But I need your prayers. We want to begin a series for the next few moments that we get to share, a few services we get to share from the subject, A Heart for the City. A Heart for the City. And we've been before the Lord and we've had to obey God. I've wanted to do everything but what God asked or commanded. But I've learned by now, if you got good sense, halfway good sense, do what the Lord says do, and trust Him with the details. So turn with me, if you would, to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 1. The book of Nehemiah, I know you don't typically go there, so I'll give you a little more time. In between Ezra and what you all call Job, but it's really Job, right up in Twins there. It's a book called Nehemiah, chapter number 1. Have you found it yet? Or are you just stunting? Just go look at the screen. Oh yeah, y'all came stunt today then. Nehemiah chapter 1. I want to begin reading at verse number 1. The word of God reads thusly. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. And it came to pass in the month Shislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, and fasted, and prayed before the God of heaven, and said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God, that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive, and thy eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel by thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against thee. We have sinned against thee. We have sinned against thee. Both I and my father's house have sinned. We have dealt very corruptly against thee, and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commandest thy servant Moses. Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying,
If ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if you turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there. Now these are thy servants and thy people whom thou hast redeemed by thy great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Say amen for the word of God. Amen. Grass withers, the flowers fade thereof. Word of our God shall stand forever. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. For these moments today, we want to start this Heart for the City series from the thought, getting off to a good start. Getting off to a good start. Will you look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, it's important how you start. Amen. So often we look at the finish, but it's important how you start. Beloved, you need to know something today as we, at the onset of this series of sharing, that God cares about his people. God cares about the things you care about. God is interested, most importantly, in your soul, because beyond when the day comes, when the Lord comes back, our souls got to go somewhere. So yes, of course, primarily, preeminently, God cares about our soul being secure in his hands. But in the meantime, there's a life you and I have got to live. And you need to understand that God cares about that as well. God not only cares that you live, but God cares how you live. God cares that you prosper. God wants you to flourish. God wants you to thrive. Don't let somebody tell you that God doesn't care about you doing well. It's not God's will that you suffer. Not God's will that you stay struggling and be on the low end of the totem pole every day of your life. There are some portions of God's will that does allow us seasons of suffering, but God does not want you to stay suffering. If you're connected to God, if you are aligned with God, you are supposed to see that God will not only take you through the valley, but God will take you to a table. And God will take you to a place of thriving and being provided for and having what you need. And part of our issue today is that we tend to leave God out of some stuff that God ought to have some say-so about. If we're going to be a church that ministers to the whole man, then we've got to let the whole man be ministered to. If I'm going to say that again. If we want God to minister to the whole man, you've got to allow the whole man to be ministered to. It's time for us to give God our issue, to give God our situations, and talk to God about what's going on with us. God cares about the community. God cares about education. God cares about your financial standing. God cares about us handling government the proper way. That even though you are a Christian, there is still a way for Christians to prosper even in a dark, dismal, and divided world. Because God made this world. God is still over the world. God still sits high and looks low. God created this world with a certain purpose, and he has allowed you and I to live in this world. And there's no point us having to suffer this long. There is a better way. There is a higher way for God's people to live. The critical question we must ask ourselves this morning is, do we want better? I know that's a very rhetorical question to ask this morning because it depends on what you see as better. Because beyond understand today, beloved, that it's going to be relative to the individual that we're talking about. Child of God, you got to understand that there are some people who talk a good game but really don't want better. Some people are just professional complainers. If there's nothing to complain about, they don't even have a job. There's just some people who just always got something negative to say. If it's sunshine, it's too hot. If it's cloudy, when the sun go come out. If it's cold, I need it to warm up. When it warms up, I sure wish it would chill off a little bit. You got to be careful today, beloved, about hanging around people or becoming yourself a professional complainer. And our community, our church, our world is plagued by people who always talk about something but can never be a part of the change. And I don't know about you today, y'all, but I believe that God will send a word like this for this series because God is raising up a generation. God is raising up a people of men, women, boys, girls who are ready to stand and see what God has in store, who want to be the head and not the tail, who want to be the lender and not the borrower, who want to be a blessing to the world, who want to help our young people, who want to help our elderly people, who want to be a blessing to somebody. I wish I'd been in the wrong house. I say, I know it's got to be three or four people who want to see what God had to say beyond the four walls of a church, because God cares more about us singing hymns. God cares more about us singing songs and lifting up a devotion. God cares that we have affordable housing. God cares that we have the right kind of education. God cares that there's fairness and equality in the world. God cares about justice. God cares. Don't you think for a minute God has winked at what's going on in Washington. God knows what's going on in the boardrooms of the banks. God knows what's going on. God sees it, and God is getting ready to do a shifting in the season. And y'all, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for God to do something amazing in my community. I believe that if we got two or three people who love God and can receive God, God will turn this thing around. He will blow our mind. I don't know about you, but I'm crazy enough to believe that if God will send a word like he's getting ready to send, something getting ready to shift. And I don't want to miss it. I want to be a part of what God's going to do. But you got to have a heart. You got to have a heart. And you got to be handling the fact, y'all, that everybody don't have the heart to do this. You got to have the heart to be a part of what God wants to do. You got to be able to handle some systemic opposition to handle what God wants to do. And what I'm getting ready to do, y'all, is very unpopular, because it's going to challenge us to a higher way. It's going to stop us from being the victim and learn how to be the victor. It's going to start to change our mindset that we got to change our perspective, that perspective is everything. Because I have breath and because I have God's word, I got a chance to change the world. I don't need money to change the world. I don't have to have status to change the world. If I serve a God who sits high and looks low, because the Bible says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. And I know a God who can bless you and you ain't got a dime in your pocket. I know a God who can heal you and your medicine didn't even work. I know a God who will raise you up when you've been down. I still believe that God can shift it, that God can change it, that God can restore, that God can renew, that God can save. I believe that the way it is, and not the way it has to be. I want to see men saved. I want to see women saved. I want to see families come back together. I want to see homes be blessed. I want to see our elderly be taken care of. I want to see our young people be thought about when testing goes forth. I want to see it. I don't know about you, but I want to see it. And I want to give a word of encouragement to somebody today who may be dealing with a difficult situation, that God's word to you has got to get ugly first, but it's going to get pretty later. If you can just hold on and hold out, your change will come. I wish I had a witness who know. Anybody been through something ugly? Anybody been through something difficult, but you held to God's unchanging hand, and sooner or later you kept waking up in the morning and God turned that thing around? Anybody ever lived in the restorative power of God? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to get back to teaching. I'm going to tell you this. I don't mean any harm when I say this, but y'all, I ask y'all to pray for me, right? You need to stop coming to church if you ain't going to have a mind to change something. Because come to church ain't going to change your situation. You come to church to change your mind, it's going to change your situation. I'm tired of shouting and ain't got nothing better. I'm tired of hollering and I can't live no better. God cares about you. You come here to get filled, but you got to go out there to live. And if you ain't coming to do nothing different, you might well stay down. I believe that God has some great in store for his people. And God wants us to get off to a good start. But we're going to see today who has a real heart for the city. Our text this morning, beloved, takes us to the people of God living in Jerusalem. But this is after exile, after captivity. And there are some who have escaped and came back to Jerusalem. But Jerusalem just can't get its footing. In the Bible, in the book of Ezra, 12 or 13 years prior, Ezra the scribe has tried to rebuild the temple. And that's a struggle, trying to rebuild the church. 12, 13 years later, there have been some exiles, some folks who escaped, some folks who made it back home, trying to rebuild the walls, rebuild the city, but it just can't get it right. Bible said that the gates are burned and the walls keep getting torn down. I'm going to try it again. Bible says that in the book of Ezra, they tried to rebuild the church because the temple was destroyed, and they can't get that right. Now you got some folks trying to rebuild the city, rebuild the walls, and the walls keep getting torn down by enemy attacks, and the gates keep getting burned up. They can't get the city back on track. Try a third time, might be a charm. Bible says that when you look to the house of God, the house of God tore up. Got good programs, having services, having take a good offering, get 3 points and a hoop and a clothes, but the people still empty. People still dead. People still defeated. Having good church, but ain't got good character. Can't even get the house of God right. Then you got some people who are political, trying to build up the church, trying to build up the city, trying to build up walls, trying to keep people out instead of bringing people in. Don't understand real immigration, because immigration suggests that you keep people out who don't belong here. Well, doggone it, if you're going to really be an immigration specialist, none of us. I better leave it alone. Well, nobody here at first but the Native Americans. All of us came over, we just came over involuntarily. It amazes me that the folks who say we don't belong, you don't belong either. I better leave that alone. I better leave that alone. You an immigrant too. But then they trying to build up walls, but they can't stay up. I'm gonna try it again. They trying to build up a wall, but the wall can't stay up. Trying to put up gates, but the gates keep getting burned down. Now here's the problem. It's Jerusalem. It's God's city. It's God's people. It's God's walls. It's God's gates. It's God's temple. So here, watch this. Can I suggest something to you? They can't rebuild the temple. Can't rebuild the city. Can I suggest, give you a supposition? Y'all ain't halfway answering me. Can I give you a supposition? Supposition being, can I take a guess as to why? Can I tell you why the church can't get rebuilt? Can I tell you why the city can't be rebuilt? Because the people ain't been rebuilt. The people ain't been renewed. The people have not been redeemed. And when you've got people who ain't know God, how they gonna handle God's stuff? How they gonna handle God's house? How they gonna handle God's people? How they gonna handle God's system? And they don't know God themselves. Will you do me a favor and ask God, not God, send us the right people to govern us. Send us the right people to protect us. Send us the right people to hold our house up, because we got the wrong people trying to do the right work. I better leave it alone. But my help almost done got here. You got a group of exiles. You got a group of exiles who made it back. They made it back. And because they made it back, get in trouble, Ham, they think they made it. Because they made it out, they think they made it. But the problem is, beloved, they made it back, but didn't learn anything when they were away. I'm going to try it again, y'all. What happens is, in captivity, the captors tore down the city, destroyed the temple, took the people. The exiles come back. The walls still get tore up. Temple can't get fixed. All these know-it-alls, but we're in the same shape. They got a 10-point plan, but we're in the same shape. Oh, Lord. We're in the same shape that we were in before we went captive. Because the problem was, the captivity was not about COVID. It wasn't about the economy. It wasn't about global warming. It because God's people turned from God. Y'all too deep. I ain't come to be deep. I'm just come to talk to you. The reason why God's folks, God's temple, God's city went under captivity is because God's people started thinking they ain't need God. I got a 4-year degree now. I got me a good house. I got 3 lots. I went and got me a car. Even got me an electric car. Nowhere to plug it in, but I got me one. Got me a business. I'm an entrepreneur. I made it. I don't need God. I graduated. I got the job. I made it. I'm a deacon now. I'm a ministry leader now. I don't need God. I's married now. I don't need God. Since y'all got on the color purple. Boy, bad, ain't it? That boy bad, ain't it? All these achievements, so I don't need God. God's people, tell you how God's people acted. I ain't talking about us. My God's people acted in the Bible. God would bless them. They would enjoy surplus. They enjoyed blessings, favor, prosperity. And they would get, it would get so comfortable that they would stop thanking the God who provided it for them. And somehow, somebody started thinking that they were the one who accomplished it. They're the ones who made it. So they stopped praying as much, stopped trusting as much. They began to be even more selfish, stubborn, sinful. And they turned from God. God allowed them, because he loved them, he didn't kill them. He allowed some to get killed, but God kept some. But then he would allow some captivity, some attacks from enemies, so that the people, his people, would come back to him. Because God even knew then, and God knows now, it takes trouble to get some of us on our knees. I better leave that alone too. But see, if everything go well, can't nobody talk to you. I can tell today some of us in trouble because you're in church. Some coming this week. It's some rough coming this week. Let me find my way to church. Because I'm gonna, if I ain't going to hear God no other time, I'm going to hear him this week. You can check in on Facebook. Check in. New Zion MBC to give God some of my time. Hashtag blessed. Because some coming. And I think I can con God. Let me show him. I'm going to pull that skirt down some more. I'm going to wear a tie that ain't mine. And I'm going to come and I'm going to look real dutiful and devout because I need the Lord to help me. Because you're in some trouble. God being God, God is merciful. God delivers his people out of trouble. And then God's people turn to God and cry out, lay out, thank you, Lord, you did it again. You know what happens? They enjoy some prosperity. Enjoy some peace and provision and go right back. Can I ask you a question? Anybody know, everybody look at your life sometime and see the cycle? You cut up, come back, things get calm, get too calm, get comfortable, cut up again. You cut up again, things get crazy, I better come back. Once I come back, God calm it. I get calm. Things get comfortable. Guess what I do again? Cut up some old. It's a cycle God understands about his people. It's been going on for generations. And we're in a season now. What happens in Nehemiah, God said, I'm going to let it stay messed up for a while. Because the problem ain't the city. It's the people in it. Problem ain't the church. It's them jokers that go to it. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You think some bricks and some mortar go change you? It's a day of celebration, actually, for us as New Zion family. Roughly 25 years ago this day, we as a church family moved into this building. 25 years to this day. First Sunday of June 2001, we moved into this beautiful edifice. And we brought some stuff. It's so amazing that, how many years I say we've been here? Do you know we still got some members who call it the new building? Because they still hung up on the old building. And some folks in this building who came in messed up. And for 25 years been showing up, still messed up. So I can prove to you, if I had time, this don't save you. Nothing you doing here go save you. You're supposed to come. And if you have to debate about whether or not you ought to be coming to church, you know right now you ain't right. You already know that. You don't need anybody to tell you that. If you having to have a debate, I ain't got to go to church, do it. Well, yeah, you know you need to go to church. Because you're a child of God. Where's God's house? But when you don't have the right character, you can be trivial about stuff like that. To where it don't even matter if I go talk to him or not. I came to make you convicted for a while. That's okay. That's why I asked you to pray for me, because I know y'all about to get mad. The people are messed up. It's not the building. It's not the gates. It's not the walls. It's the people operating it. And so we lead us today to our text in Nehemiah chapter 1 that it's bad in Jerusalem. Tell somebody it's bad in Jerusalem. And it so happens that Nehemiah is in Shushan under King Artaxerxes. He is a cupbearer. I'll get back there later. But so happens that he has a visit from one of his brethren named Hanani. And brings us to point number one today of how to get off to a good start. It begins with a provided report. A provided report. Nehemiah asks Hanani, or Hananiah, for those who need to know that much. Hanani, whose name means God comforts. He asks Hanani, how things going in Jerusalem since everybody been back? And Hanani, my friends, because he's brethren, he gives him a credible report. Now, just because I'm teaching it don't mean shut down. I just don't feel like hollering. I got two more services today. I can't be hollering today. So y'all don't be mad if I go in cruise control for a while. I just got, can y'all see me hollering y'all? No way. Okay, it's time I want to teach y'all. So Hanani, so don't go to sleep and all that. Wake up. Listen, Hanani gives Nehemiah a report of what's going on in Jerusalem. Now, that's so deep, but you missed it. Because it's very important, beloved, who you let tell you stuff. Y'all miss me. See, we have some people who are designated to report. And some people who just decide to report. Oh, man. Some folks are credible. Some folks are not. I suggest stop asking liars to give you a credible. Stop getting folks who don't even know. Okay, if you're in Lebanon, I'm in Samaria, how you know what's in Jerusalem? At least ask somebody who's there. Now, the reason why y'all shutting down is because y'all letting people tell you about your city who don't know nothing about your city. You're letting folks who don't know nothing about your community tell you about your community. You're letting folks tell you about your church
who ain't never even opened, came through the doors of your church. Ain't you ashamed to let people who don't know nothing about your God tell you something about your God? They don't know about prayer. They don't know about when you was lost and God found you. They don't know about them same people who held you and prayed for you and lifted you. They don't. And you gonna let people who don't have anything to do with it give you a report. And now, the trouble we have, we got some people who made some assertions. This boy's talking some big words. Who made some assumptions about people that you don't even know. Notice that Nehemiah asked Hanani, one of his brethren. Missed it. I'm not going to ask somebody I'm not connected to. Stop asking disconnected people and giving them access to you, and you getting access to them, and they're not connected to the same God you're connected to. I'm talking, Ben, y'all. Because, see, watch this. They may give you the wrong information. Ladies and gentlemen, from a spiritual sense, it's bad in Jerusalem. But from a natural sense, they got walls. They got gates. They working on the temple, just ain't got it finished yet. Missed it. From a natural sense, what's wrong? There are some people who are happy like this. I better get out of trouble. Some folks are satisfied because they all right. See how quiet y'all got them right there? There, you know what frustrates me sometimes? Talking to people who have desensitized themselves to the struggles of their own people. Look how y'all looking at the pastor right now. Y'all still love me? I still love y'all. Look how y'all looking at me. Some people don't even know there's a problem. What? Crime? Where? It was right down your road. I ain't heard nothing, child. I was up in that house watching Wheel of Fortune. I ain't know nothing. Because as long as it don't come to their house, they don't care if it happened on their street. I better leave this alone. That even the people of God have gotten insensitive to what's going on with other people of God. So it's important that you get the right report. Get somebody who's connected to the spiritual part of it. Because from a physical, natural standpoint, well, we ain't finished with the city, but we're working on it. There's a plan. We sat down and talked about it. The devil's just busy. It's a dark cloud over Winfield. You know, it's just how it is. But is it how it is, how it has to stay? Now, I'm not the smartest man in the world, but I do have enough sense to know this. Clouds move. Ain't no dark cloud that's just gonna stay. Clouds move. But a sun, y'all missing your shout. The sun is shining whether it's cloudy or not. There's an S-U-N that shines no matter what. So it's an S-O-N that's shining. Or even on your worst day, can anybody give God praise that no matter how bad it looks, because the S-O-N still shines, we got a chance to see something better. But you got to talk to the right folks. Hanani tells him, man, it's bad. It's rough. It's rough in Jerusalem. He said, the ones who came back, we trying to fix it, but we just can't get it right. Now, it takes a lot of security to be able to say to somebody else, we're trying, but we're not getting there yet. See, sometimes you have to tell the truth about yourself. Because sometimes it just is what it is. Light bulbs, I need you to shine. It's your turn to get voted in, and it's still bad. It's your tenure, and it's still bad. You the boss now, and it's still bad. Because it's not about the personality. It's about the power. It don't matter. If you don't have the power of God, ladies and gentlemen, it don't matter what your position is.
But we got a lot of people, get in trouble, Ham, in powerful positions, but don't have power. Because if you was that heavy, Jerusalem would be better now. If you was that much of a big shot, the walls wouldn't keep coming down. If you had the plan to stop all this, why are we still under attack? Problem is, it's a remnant. Can the church say remnant? And remnants don't like being like what a remnant really is. Because a remnant is not just those who stayed. Sometimes they're those who were left. And they have a sense, be careful about being a remnant every now and then, because you'll start thinking something's owed to you. But as a remnant, you're responsible because you know what it takes. I don't know why God got me here. I don't know why God got me here, because I wish y'all could see how y'all looking at me. Maybe one day I'll talk about he'll heal you. And I'm going to get that after a while, y'all. He'll heal you. He going to bless you. He going to put money in your pocket. He going to keep your enemy off of you. But right now, we living somewhere, and I think it's a good season to talk about how we living beyond the church, because we live better outside of church. And I want to make a transition today, y'all, from us being just God's people to being the people of God. Amen. And so it begins with a provided response. He asks Hanani. Hanani gives him a credible report. Now, see, Nehemiah's off to a good start because he asked the right person. Y'all missed it. I ain't asked everybody, because I know if I'm asking some people. Now, I want you to think about who all these people. Who tells how bad our community is? I'm trying my best not to. I'm gonna try to stay steady. But all these Facebook social justice warriors, who are bad behind a phone screen. Behind a computer. They fingers do a lot of talking. But mess around and say, come here. What you say now? What you talking about? I'm talking about what you said concerning certain things in our area. Because if you bad, really bad folks, they don't do all that talking. But now you know what? I ain't mad at them. I'm mad at you cowards who like it and love it, who catch a ride with foolishness. They lost and you lost running behind them because it's something negative, because it's something juicy, and you catch a ride, and now everybody's spreading negative slander about something nobody knows nothing about. We make fools out of ourselves because we don't know the right report. You run with half information. And I'm talking about God's folks. Those of us who occupy churches. A temporary inconvenience exposes you. How you handle you. You are in this world, and then you want to come to church like it's all right. Like it's all right. See, God cares. I told you, God cares. He cares about the stuff you be posting. He cares about your character. And we run behind stuff and don't know if it's true. Because somebody posted it, it's got to be true. And you already know they're not credible. Can I help you understand if they're credible or not? Watch when they post. Do they ever post when the lights come back on? Talk to me now. Do they ever post when the water come back on? Or they always say something when it's off, when something go bad, when something is negative, but they never say when somebody get healed. They never take a picture when somebody get delivered. Never take a picture when somebody get baptized. Never take a picture when God do good stuff. I wish I had a witness somewhere. That's how you know they not credible. Because I'm big enough to say it or be big enough to stand on it. And when you're wrong, you're just wrong. And we owe a lot of people an apology because we ran behind some mess and we took judgments about people that we didn't know nothing about. And when God showed up and showed them not as bad as they was, you owe them an apology. As loud as you was with the attack, you ought to be just as loud with the apology. Have enough character to say I was wrong. Have the character to say I misheard. Have the character to say I was misinformed. Have some character today. You loud with the disrespect. Loud with the disrespect. But when you find out that was a lie, you ain't going to be loud with the honor now. God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. I better leave this alone. But if you go listen to a report, talk to somebody who know. Talk to somebody credible. Nehemiah knew not only what to get, but he knew who to get it from. Yeah. See, truth of it is, I gotta quit. Truth of it is that when you want some mess and gossip, you know who to talk to. I know who to call. What you doing? You busy? No, what's up? Question for you. What's up? Is it true that why you call me with it? Because I know you know, Negro. I know you know. This black man is preaching up here today. Because I know you know. That's why I'm calling you. How you figure I know? Some of y'all done got so embarrassed. Is it me? Yeah, you know it's you. You are the hotline for other people's business. Because they know you know. They know you may not know the truth, but they know you know the story. And people know they don't need the truth from you because you will give them enough story. And some people get enough pieces of a story, they'll create their own truth. And I charge you today, stop being people's puppet and trash can. You be a good steward of your own ears and stop letting people use you for information and gossip. I have been freed over the years to be able to say three words that bless my life. I don't know. Even if I do, I could have synced it. I don't know. Because I'm not going to let you put me in stuff, and I know your motives. My friends call them. You ain't got that many friends. You mess. It's the mess ministry. And I'm going to help you now. It ain't the ones you think. It's them quiet jokers who get all the dirt. They just sitting. See, they understand you talk too much to listen. You got two ears, one mouth. And see, them quiet ones, they listen double as much as you talking. I believe. Okay, so he talks to Hanani, somebody credible. Y'all see me? He talks to somebody credible, and Hanani gives him a credible spiritual report that the situation in Jerusalem is very dire. The walls are torn down. The people who are exiles who came back, they're trying, but we just can't get it right, Nehemiah. Now, he just tells Nehemiah the truth. So when you hear the report, it's up to you what you do to report. Brings about, secondly, a proper response. This is my favorite point in this whole lesson today. Because I don't know what to do with that report until I talk to the one who's overseeing the report. Anybody want to admit today, we in church, you're in a safe space. And one thing y'all know about y'all pastor is what? He ain't messy. Y'all know that. I'm concerned that y'all answer me so quick. I hear some sarcasm is how y'all said that. Would I set y'all up? You doggone right I'll set you up. Now listen. Listen. How many of y'all don't mind admitting today that you can be kind of hot-headed? Lord, look at this church. Look at this church. I am redeemed, bought with a price. Raise your hand again. How many of y'all know you can be kind of hot-headed? You have to stand up. Sit down, corner. How many of y'all say y'all hot-headed again? Can be. Oh, Lord, there was trouble standing up. Now, listen. Y'all the same folks here, the blood still works. It will never, but you just got through saying that you hot-headed. That blood still works. That blood still works. But you hot-headed. Which one is it? I told you I was setting you up. I admit it this time, though. I was setting you up. The second point, y'all, is not the proper reaction. Proper response. Come here. If your flesh will bring about a reaction, your spirit brings about a response. The problem with that is, y'all, that your flesh may react wrong. You slap me. Can my church come back to order, please? My God, y'all gangsters. I'm doing all I can, Lord, with them. You see what I'm trying to do with them. I ain't finished what I was going to say, Lord. If somebody slaps you, stop. Let me finish telling you what I'm going to tell you. If someone slaps you, your flesh will want to retaliate. But your spirit, man, your spirit ain't going to tell you slap them. No. Your flesh says slap them. Stop lying on your spirit. Your spirit going to say, turn the other cheek, right? And then y'all say, well, I ain't Jesus. Jesus said that. I ain't say that. So if we gonna have a heart for the city, we can't be having our heart on our sleeve. You can't be reactionary to everything that's said or done. Mm-mm. Because some people, when you're hot-headed, raise your hand again. How many of y'all say y'all hot-headed? Don't be putting them hands down now like y'all. No, don't try that. I ain't setting you up this time. I ain't setting you up. Man, y'all wrong, man. Y'all wrong. Y'all wrong, man. Y'all wrong. How many of y'all say you're hot-headed now? Be honest. All right, can be. All right, so if that's the case, if you know that, somebody else know that about you. And you got to be very cautious that you don't let people put you in positions. Say amen. to where God can't get the glory and you can't prosper because you acting off your emotions all the time. Y'all feel me? So be careful about bragging about it. I pop off, because somebody knows that, and a lot of people popping off in jail or 6 feet underground because you're going to meet the right pop. Somebody's pop is a little bit louder than yours. So don't play with that. Whoever boasts about it, I can get them, I can go there. No, I don't want to go there. When I want to please the Lord, I don't want to act like that. I don't want to be all fighting all the time. I don't want to be into it with people. I wish I had a witness. Don't you get tired of getting into it with people all the time? Don't you want peace? Anybody want peace in their life? You can have peace in the midst of chaos. Just because you ignorant don't mean I got to be ignorant. Somebody got to have some sense. Y'all know that old saying, when I see two people arguing with a fool, people observing can't tell who the fool is. Because why would you argue with a fool? They a fool. So why argue with somebody who you know ain't going to get it no how? Ain't that good teaching? I'm going to let you know how I feel. They are foolish. They foolish. What you arguing for? Now you up all night, your pressure up, they going to bed. got up again. Because they foolish. So here it is. Nehemiah responds. And look when Nehemiah feels it. He's emotional. The Bible says he grieves. He mourns. Y'all missed it. Bible says Nehemiah mourns, which taps into his heart. Try it again. He has a heart for his city, even though he has left his city. So that what's going on in his city still affects him, even though he's not there. And when he hears about what's going on, he mourns. He allows what he feels to happen. Then the Bible says he mourns and fasts and prays. Wow. What a novel idea. That he grieves about it, but he goes to the one he knows can fix it. I got another question, because we're in 2026. We're in 2026, right? So we have to bring it to today. What does getting on Facebook telling everybody your business do? Telling folks who can't fix it? I hate churches that got great seats and the people wear purple. Girl, what happened? Inbox me. Well, we already know that you got great seats up in here and the folks won't proper today. So we know who you're talking about. And then they'll come back tomorrow. I'm so sick of folks always in my business. You don't want to put that out there. When will you just go to God? Because I'm going to tell you the truth. God don't tell your business. God will handle your business. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That, see, you can save yourself a lot of trouble and heartache and grief if you just go to God first and stop going to God last. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Stop waiting to last and pray because you made a mess. Pray to God first. You ain't gonna make a mess. Y'all mad now. That's why I say we got to respond, because you feel what you feel. And you're not wrong for what you feel. Paul says in Ephesians 4, be angry, but sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. If you don't deal with the anger, it becomes a wrath. Anger is what you feel. Wrath is what you take out on others. But if you don't deal with it properly, you're gonna hurt other folks who didn't hurt you. And most people are hurting today because of unchecked emotions. You got to learn how to handle what you feel and handle what you see, handle it properly, and go to God about it. He says, Father, he goes to God, the God of Israel. Father, I know you see. And Nehemiah, that's why it's the proper response, because he prays, but he prays right. I like it, y'all. He prays, but he prays how? He prays right. Because in the midst of this prayer is some confession. Y'all got your Bible open still? He says, I confess we have sinned. The reason it's this bad is because we turned from you. Because you already told us if we follow your commandments, we'll have everything we need. So since we're struggling, we're not going to blame God. We're going to take a look at ourselves and say, we have sinned against you. Y'all don't like that part? Y'all don't like it? Real prayer deals with the truth of what it is. And I like this. Nehemiah, ladies and gentlemen, is not in Jerusalem. He's in Shushan. Here's what I like about Nehemiah. Nehemiah is my kind of leader. This is how I know he got the right kind of heart. Because he takes accountability for something he ain't even a part of. He says, we sinned. Y'all down there in Jerusalem. See, that's why I don't go back. Because y'all. We, Father. Because just because I'm not in the same place don't mean I ain't their people. And I still care about my people because that's where I come from. I may not live there, I may not function there, but I still care because that's a part of who I am. I don't understand how you can be gone so long and you forget about the days when Big Mama gave you a sandwich and somebody helped you in some store, your neighborhood store. How you done got that up there? You forgot about somebody who provided for you, who took care of you, and who looked out for you. See, that's why I don't go to win. Ooh. That's why I had to get out. Y'all still with me? Let me just say something nice right now. Y'all so beautiful today. I'm so glad to have you at this auspicious occasion with me today to worship our sovereign Lord. You all are beautiful. We have sinned. Watch folks who always say y'all. Like they ain't drinking the same water. Like they ain't breathing the same air. Like they ain't depending on the same God. I can't stand them y'all. See, that ain't me. That's y'all. The Bible does not say y'all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I need some people who will ride with me not only in my castle, but even in my cave. When we're in trouble, and then not only when we're in triumph, not only when we're up, but sometime when we're down. You don't get to just have the good part. You got to go through the tough stuff too. People love to share in your glory. Don't want no parts of the story, though. We. Nehemiah's not even there. Nehemiah's not even responsible, but he's accountable. God, give us some people who care and who will share our struggle. And part of the reason why, ladies and gentlemen, we can't get change like we need to see is because the people who are set to lead us don't care. It's a hard truth. Because where your heart is, your treasury is also. That check, that prestige, that photo op. Look at me over here with the black folks. Give them a turkey. And when I put that camera down, get away from me, you. And you fall for it because it's something free. They don't care about us. Because if you care, buy my child a book. Help us get some Wi-Fi so they can have computer access. They don't care about us like they say. And see, it's a good time to talk about this because in our community, whether we like it or not, it's election season. And we're confused about. And see, the enemy wants you not to vote. And to not vote is to vote. To not vote suggests you don't care about the future of our community. We got a bond issue going on right now, and most people are fighting it because they think about themselves and what I got to pay. But my grandbaby got to sit under asbestos and sit under black mold and can't halfway breathe in a building because it don't affect me. I think my child is more than $18.50 a month. I don't know about you, but we never look at the big picture. We only look at ourselves because we don't care. Don't vote for it. That's your business. Vote how you want to vote. But think, always look at the proper report. Don't let what certain people tell you. And the people who have a heart for the community go see the big picture. Because guess what, ladies and gentlemen? Y'all still listening, y'all.